Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are glad that you have joined us today. We are live every Sunday at this hour from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Tampa time. And we're so glad you've joined us. And we're going to have a great show, Nan. Nan is in the studio with me, Nan Watson, one of our radio team members. It's going to be fun.
We are going to have a great show today. I know it.
And Betty's going to call in from Indiana in a little while. She's one of our radio team members, and maybe Megan, too. We'll see how that goes. Betty's a little horse, and she's out at a horse convention.
Do you have to be a horse to be at a horse convention?
I don't know. I mean, we need to find out. Is it a prerequisite or something? Makes sense. I mean, horse. Right. So it makes sense. So we'll have to find that out when we get the horse authority.
If she can speak.
If she's not too horse.
Do you know Morse code? Maybe she goes Morse code.
Morse.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. It's getting bad in here.
Anyway,
we are so glad you're all joining us. We always have a great time on this show every Sunday. And today is a very special day, Nan. So it's an anniversary of such of sorts. Today starts our 7th year on the radio.
Oh, right. That deserves some
deserves some radio. Oh, yeah. Cedric, do we get some applause or anything? Because, I mean, after all, we're starting our 7th year today.
I am remiss.
You are remiss. He's remiss.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. 7th year.
Yay.
Applesauce. Yes. That's what you call all that.
And,
applesauce.
And the fanfare. Hang on.
The fanfare? Oh, let's do the fanfare.
Woo! Oh, my God.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Cedric.
All right. Starting our 7th year today. Finished 6 years last Sunday. Very exciting. Seven is a good year. And so we've completed 6 years, and we are so blessed to have been on this radio station all that time, Nan. It's just a blessing to every week come and bring the Word of God, the living Word of God, week after week. And it never gets old, and it's always fun and exciting to share God's Word. You feel that way. I know you do, because I told you have to feel that way. No.
I do feel that way because you told me.
No.
It is. It's just such a blessing. You know, and I come here and hang out in the radio, you know, here a lot. I'm here almost all the time.
During our show, even if you're not on.
If I'm not on it, I'm here. And I get to feel the anointing,
yes.
First of all, in the studio, and to see the excitement of the people, whoever happens to be on that day.
Right.
You know,
yes.
But as a participant, as I am from time to time, it is really a joy to be able to come and share.
Isn't it,
you know, what we're all learning together.
We're learning the Word of God. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, Beacon of Hope, our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what we're all about and have been about now. We're in our 12th year as a ministry, and we have been the same purpose, the same goal, the same vision all along, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. I mean, we can have opinions, but when our opinion is based on the Word of God, that's what changes us.
That's what changes us. I was hurting when I came to Beacon.
Right.
And the Word has really, the Lord has used the word in mighty ways in my life.
Right. And it's exciting to learn the Word and see what God says about our individual situations.
Oh, it is.
You know, because he's got the answers right there. You
right.
know, I think a lot of times we're too lazy to try to find those answers, but they are there for us in each of our life circumstances. The Word of God speaks to to whatever we're going through, you know?
Yes, it does.
Gives us hope, gives us encouragement. So that's what Beacon of Hope is all about. That's what this radio broadcast is all about. And today's show is going to be amazing. We've got some great music on the show, as we always do. And we're talking about the grace of God and God's true nature. We're studying the book of Ephesians. And it's blessing us, isn't it, all six chapters?
Oh, it's wonderful. I shared with you this morning, I've sat under your teaching and for about almost 3 years now.
Right.
Today's sermon really was an aha moment for me.
Aha. There you go.
And I can hardly wait for us to go ahead and proceed forward with that today, because it was so awakening for me. It was so powerful.
The anointing of God is always so amazing.
Right.
And the anointing is his presence. And you know when you feel it, when you don't. You know when it's all flowing together and the word is coming out and changing lives, and you know when your words are falling on deaf ears. And I can say today at Beacon of Hope on Almerton, where we meet, there was nothing falling on anybody's deaf ears. People were involved. They were into it. I was praying specifically the last few days that ears would be opened and blind eyes would see. And we pray that for today's broadcast too, Nan. People will come alive, that the word of God will come alive in people. They'll desire God's answer for their situations.
Right. I believe it's going to happen.
I believe it's going to happen too, and that's what we're all about. Let's agree in prayer as we get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity today as we begin our seventh year as a radio show here on Tan Talk 1340 AM. And Lord, we thank you for this radio station. We ask your blessing upon them as they continue day by day in this work in the Tampa Bay area. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to be on this radio show and to be on this station consistently for all these years. And as we embark on our seventh year right now, Lord, we ask your blessing to just fall on this show today, your anointing to rest upon us as we chat, as we listen to the anointed music that you have already planned and ordained for today. Lord, we just thank you for miracles happening in our listeners today. We thank you, Lord, that people will take hold of the truths of your word and will run with those truths today and will receive knowledge and hope and peace and joy today in abundance. Lord, we ask you for that, and we thank you for it before we see it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with a great song.
All right.
Pretty new from the group New Song.
New Song.
New Song from New Song.
New Song, New Song.
Yeah. For the glory of Christ. Here we go.
To live is Christ. I have a passion in my heart I've never known before that makes me love him more. Die is gain. I am learning through surrender what it really means to know that I am free. And if my prayers, I would live each day in such a way that in my prayer.
Praise God. For the glory of Christ, that's what it's all about. That's why we do this show. That's why we live our lives on a daily basis for the glory of Christ, because we want God's word to go out in such strength in people's lives that they are forever changed. And that's why we're here week after week. Nan, we're here to get the word of God out. We made that point a few minutes ago, but you know, I think a lot of times people don't realize how wonderful the Word of God is and how life-changing it is if we grab a hold of it and get it down on the inside of us. You know what I'm saying?
I think some people are just accustomed perhaps to the way their involvement with churches that they have previously attended or maybe
right.
even attend now.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily delve, if you will, into the Word of God in such a way and the Holy Spirit really moving with anointing on
right.
that Word, stirring that up within
right.
us.
Right.
They just, many people don't have that.
Exactly. But we are in a study right now in Ephesians, and it's changing us, our church. And we're calling it the three C's for T3. And if you have paper or take notes, we're talking about confidence, courage, and no condemnation. And that's what allows us to take territory. T3 is taking territory time. That's what it's all about. That's what we're doing. We're moving forward in the plan of God for each of us individually and also this ministry as a corporate entity to become all that God wants us to be. And it starts with confidence, Nan. There's a whole lot of people out there that are not confident of their salvation. That if they died tonight, they wouldn't even be sure they'd be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. They're not even positive about that because they've allowed condemnation. Mm-hmm. They've allowed fear. They've allowed unworthiness and all kinds of things to crowd out the knowledge that they are the children. We are the children of God. We're all the children of God. He loves us.
Satan has been very craftful. Is that how you say it? Crafty?
Crafty?
Crafty. He's been crafty. And we'll do that with any of us that
right.
to keep those things ever before us.
Right.
Self-condemnation. I am unworthy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, keeps all that stuff in front of us so that we miss out on the blessings that are available to us. And you even expounded on blessings this morning and being very specific with things that we need in our lives, whatever those blessings, because we're listening to him. And many times people don't realize they're listening to him. All they know is they feel
the devil
this way.
Mean.
Yeah. Him. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Correct.
And they allow themselves to think that they're not worthy of blessing. They're not worthy of asking God for certain things. And they may feel that he's not a good God anyway. This show is all about changing perceptions from our old way of thinking, our old negativity, our old way of being bound up by the junk maybe that we've learned all mm-hmm. through our lives, and finding out exactly what God's word says about us so that we develop that confidence. And today we want to talk more about that confidence. Last week we majored on going confidently, boldly to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. And that was a great show. If any of you missed it, you need to catch it from last week. But learning how to go boldly and take the things that are ours, God's blessings, they are there for us. We just have to learn to take those.
And that's not something that people are taught in a lot of places.
No, a lot of times we're taught that, you know, we deserve punishment. We deserve bad things to happen.
We're bearing it for the sake of the cross.
Right.
No, we're bearing it, you know, that we're martyr almost in
right.
situations at times.
And God doesn't want us to feel that way
right.
at all. You know, in fact, he wants us to be just the opposite, that we get stronger in the knowledge of his grace and his kindness to us. And we're going to talk about that in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, let's run there. And let's start with Ephesians chapter 2. And there's just some beautiful things. But, well, actually, you know what? I want to start with 1. Let's go back to Ephesians 1:7. Because, and I'm in the Message Bible, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, that's Jesus, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. Now, I think this is a huge point right here. We've got to begin to see ourselves as free and not under all of the punishment that the devil and the world tries to put on us for things that we've messed up and done, you know, that are not right. And it says here that we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments, and not just barely free. I love this in the Message Bible. We are abundantly free. We got to see ourselves as free, Nan, because I think a lot of people see themselves as all bound up by the past, the things that have happened to them, perhaps in their childhood or teen years or young adult, maybe things that they've done wrong or maybe atrocities that were done to them tend to bind people up into a sense of feeling that they are never going to come out of the pain of that past. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes is the answer.
But no, I mean, I was thinking that there, you know, there's times that I would have thought, you know, things, I mean, I didn't do anything really like necessarily real bad, evil type things, but just could have done this better, could have done that better.
Right.
And can remain bound.
Right.
Of just continuing to think, well, I could have done this, I could have done that, instead of go, okay, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, okay, God forgive me, whatever, move forward. It's very difficult to do that.
But that's condemnation.
Exactly.
Thank you. That's condemnation that keeps us all bound up and keeps us to the point where we can't move forward and grow. And Paul addresses that whole concept right here because he says, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are abundantly free. You know, we're not just barely free, we're abundantly free. You know, God's already done it through Jesus on the cross, and we don't have to take any of it anymore. We are not barely free, we're abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for us. I'm in about verse 8 or 9 of Ephesians 1. I can't tell you exactly the verse because of the Message Bible, but Jesus thought of everything. About what?
I think it's about 8.
8. Yeah. Provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out for us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything is brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth. Verse 11 of Ephesians 1. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. That is so huge because, Nan, I believe there's a lot of people running around this whole life. And I love Ephesians 1:11 because I think there's a lot of people who go through life not knowing why they're even here, not knowing what God's plan is for them, and maybe not even caring why God has a plan for them. But he does, you know? And it's so important that we learn that God loves us so very much. That is the message in Ephesians. God's love, his grace, his plan for our lives, that we are already free, and we don't have to get so entangled with the junk of the past. But we do. Go ahead.
Some people can say, but I'm not experienced at this, or I'm not knowledgeable enough in this area, or I don't have enough skill in a particular area.
Right.
How can God use me? Well, you know, right. All you need to do is just start praying, God, here I am, a vessel yielded to you. How can you use me? And he will. He has a plan, and he will.
And he does it in very interesting ways during our day, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely.
You being a principal secretary can attest to that. People come to your desk a lot of times, and they just need an encouraging word or even a time of prayer.
We've had a few times of prayer in my office.
Shut
that door and pray and have the principal walk in and say, oh, excuse me, and walk back out.
Right. But, you know, this whole thing of confidence, I think so many people are beat down by the things of the past. And we want to talk about that today on the show because our past can drag us so down. Betty, are you on the air with us?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, Horse One.
Yes, that's me.
Yes, we were talking about you and your horses a little while ago, your horse voice and your horses.
Yeah, that's right. The two fit together very well.
Hi, Betty.
Good hey, Nanners, how you doing, babe?
I'm sounding better than you. They got me on antibiotic this week. What about you?
Well, I've been on, I'm on my last round of antibiotics, and I'm really not, you know what? I am healed in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
There you go, girl. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Well, we're talking about confidence, Betty, and the fact that so many people are so beat down by their past, and it carries over into their present, and they cannot see God's great love and mercy for them because it's just like they cannot come out of what has happened to them. Do you want to talk about that? You want to relate? Do you relate to that? Do you find this in ministering to people that this is the case?
Most definitely, and in fact, especially in family issues or your friends, that when you get into a conversation with them, it's like they don't live in the present.
Right.
They live in the past, and the one barrier that you have to get through is to let them keep that past at the foot of the cross where it belongs.
Right.
And it's hard for some people to let go of, Pastor.
It is very hard for people to let go of. Why, Betty? Why do people struggle with letting go of the past injuries and pain and emotional trauma, physical trauma, maybe abuse, rape, whatever? Why is it so hard to let go of that?
Well, sometimes I think it can be a psychological issue. But in the spiritual realm,
right,
that's where Satan likes to keep us.
Right.
He likes to keep us oppressed to the point where we do feel beat down. We feel like that we cannot step out of that dome that he keeps us under, and we do have the possibility of relinquishing that once we let God in our lives.
I agree with you, and I think a lot of people even they receive salvation. And it becomes more like, as we call around here, fire insurance, in that mm-hmm. they want to make sure they're going to heaven when they die, but they don't realize that salvation is a daily walking out. It's not just a one-time, Jesus, come into my heart. Yes, it is that. But it is also, Paul said, we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a process. It's not just a one-time Jesus come into my heart, and, or on the other end of the spectacle, one day I'm going to be saved and go to heaven. There is an in-between walk where we all are right now. We're in between all that, where we realize that we are being saved on a daily basis from the junk all around us that we've done or the things that are happening on a daily basis. Go ahead, Nan, and then we'll get back to Betty.
It is a daily thing, you know, and, you know, I mean, like, you and Connie used to always, you know, help to encourage me.
Right.
Have you put on your armor for the day?
Right. Exactly.
And
that armor
is found in Ephesians 6.
There you go. All right.
Shield of faith. You know, some people maybe wonder what's the armor. The shield
of
faith.
We're going to teach on it in a few weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay. The shield of faith. The sword. The word is the sword.
Right.
And the helm of salvation and breastplate of righteousness and feet shed with preparation, peace. But, you know, just mentally and spiritually, what I would do is I would be in the shower.
Right.
When I'm getting a shower, I'm like, okay, I'm putting on my spiritual armor.
There you go.
You know? And I can tell the difference in my day.
Right.
I mean, and people may be kind of like laughing at this point, going, yeah, right. You know, that really, what is that? That's crazy. It's really not.
No,
because
it's not
it really
crazy
works.
At all. No.
And I can tell a difference in my day when all of a sudden my day will start just all of a sudden just be different, weird, not good, whatever. And I realize, I didn't put on my armor this
morning.
There
you go.
And that is a pattern that I have gotten into in the mornings. I just happen to do it when I'm in the shower because that's when I think of it. And that's become my routine, you know, kind of cleaning up, washing up, and putting on my armor.
So it's a spiritual thing that you're acknowledging,
absolutely.
You have the helmet of salvation, which, by the way, most of the battle's in our mind.
Yes.
So when we put a helmet, like a football helmet, over our minds, and we speak that we are being saved. We're in the process of having God clean up our thoughts and clean up our emotions. Huge things happen for us. So talk to me, Betty, about this horse lady.
Oh, I tell you what, you know what? When you ride horses, you wear a helmet.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you rode a helmet riding a horse. That makes sense,
safety,
though.
For safety reasons, you wear a helmet in the event that the equine.
The equine.
They want to make a sudden stop, or they decide that something spooks them, and the helmet protects your the cranium.
Right.
It protects you from harm. It protects things from harming you, and
right.
that's what the when you put on the full armor of God, that when you put on that helmet of salvation, that's God's protection helmet for you, and it's there for you every day, 365 days a year, night or day. It's always there.
Okay, and that's exactly right. I love that you brought up your equines again and your canines and your felines and all those things that you're mm-hmm. always talking about. But you are exactly right, because the helmet protects us and guards us against sharp objects, against attack, against falling and cracking our head or whatever the case may be. And in the battle that's in our mind, when we have salvation all over our minds, and we have got salvation is talking about wholeness. The word salvation is talking about God delivering us from the past, from the junk that's happening today, from the things that happened last week. It's a deliverance. Salvation talks about being made whole and delivering from. So we need to be very mindful of what the devil is trying to do to put things on us. But Jesus said, I came to deliver you from those things, because he is salvation.
Powerful.
Yeah, it is powerful. But it requires a different mindset, don't you think, Betty?
Yes, and, you know, that is the key. Mindset.
Right.
Is that... In some situations, of people that we have ministered to over the years, is that they have to want to change that mindset.
Right.
They've got to set it aside. They have got to let it go. If you let it control you, it will. But we
it
have
will.
A control factor that sits at the right hand of God.
Right.
that can take power and take precedence over that, so that you can release that control, and that mindset will change. When you have a mindset change, you know what else happens? There's also a heart change.
Right.
And that is so important, Pastor.
Well, where your heart is, there your treasure is. So, you know, where your treasure is, I'm sorry, there your heart is. So when you treasure, let's say... let's say you treasure time, just leisure time, and not give any thought to the word and not care about what God has to say to you that day. That's going to be where your treasure is. That really messes you up. I mean, it affects your heart. It affects your mind. And it becomes a time in our lives where we have to take this whole thing seriously. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, you got to realize that you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And what does that mean? Nan, talk to me about that.
Well, what I was thinking is, some people don't want to change their mindset.
Right.
I
absolutely.
Mean, their mindset, because, what's an example? Well, of something that's happening within their lives. Sometimes, and I've seen this in churches, people love the attention
right.
that they can gather from people who are just well-meaning and caring and concerned and love them, because they're staying in where they are. They don't want to change.
Right.
They just don't want to change. They want to stay in that for the self-pity and have a pity party and everyone there with them.
Absolutely. The attention getting. Betty, you want to talk about that? Because we've seen this for years in ministry, haven't we?
Oh, my, yes. And the really sad part about it is that it can tear you, your family, your church family, your blood family. It can tear you apart.
Right.
And we are saved by grace.
Right.
We are God's kids. And when we accept him into our heart, that it's a daily walk. We can't walk with him 3 days out of seven. Our walk needs to be with him 7 days a week. And sometimes we let things get in our way that we don't have that precious time, whether it's reading the word, talking to him, you know, in prayer.
Right.
There's so many distractions that can keep us from that precious walk with the Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah, I propose to both of you that one of the big ways that we begin this healing process in our lives is to get a handle on God's grace and his kindness. And mm-hmm. Paul talks about this so much in Ephesians that it's all about his grace and his kindness. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2, he says, "Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus." In other words, this is God's work going on in us. This is Ephesians 2, 7. He's got us right where he wants us. And what is he doing to us? He is showering us with grace and kindness. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't grow up believing that or feeling that. I felt more like God was a punisher. God was an angry God. And Nan, you were in church all your life, but didn't you have that kind of thing built into you too? The punishment of God, the negativity, how God's out to get you, that kind of thing?
Well, falling into the hands of an angry God is what comes to mind.
Oh, that phrase.
I remember that. That was,
yes,
that was very
they
popular
used
back
that
then.
Uh-huh. Against us, uh-huh. Right? You don't want to fall into the hands
of an
angry
God,
right?
And then they'll tell the stories about how so-and-so, such-and-such knew somebody who was sitting on the back row of the pew.
Right.
An altar call was given.
Right.
This is not what my church, but it's the story that they would tell that I'd heard. I recall hearing now that we're talking about it. And that they would say, and altar call was given and wouldn't come up to the altar, walked out of the church, went across the street, and got ran over by a truck.
Ran over by a truck.
Oh, you heard that same story, huh?
Yeah, I think that was a popular one used against people. But and then look what happened. They fell into the hands of an angry God. You know what? I did hear that growing up. And
church had one too, huh?
Yeah, we had an angry God sermon.
But you know, again, that goes along with things. That almost makes you fearful of God.
Well, of course. It makes you not reverent,
that makes you be afraid, almost want to go running to the altar.
Well, yeah, here comes the truck.
Here comes the truck.
Betty, talk to us about this. Did you ever hear that in church?
No. I'm glad I missed out on that one. I was not raised in a Christian home.
Okay.
And I gave my life to the Lord in 1985. And immediately.
Very soon, right before I met you, right around the time.
Yes. And I immediately went into children's ministry.
Right.
And when you work with children, they have such a sweet and gentle spirit about
right.
them. That, you know, maybe the fire and brimstone was going out into the sanctuary.
Right.
But back in children's church, you know, we were singing Father Abraham, you know,
right.
we had many sons. And there's such a difference what was taught in the sanctuary.
Boy, now, that's weird. Just a minute, Betty. We just had an adjustment on our sound, but really actually might be better. Go ahead. Keep talking about the sanctuary.
Can you hear me?
Okay, that's a little better than you were muffled earlier in the show.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, what did you do? Whatever you did.
Yeah. Well, actually, it went, we're in a 4G area, so we shouldn't have any problems at all.
Okay, it's a little better now. Okay.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead.
When we were back in the children's church, we taught of a loving God, a God who saves by grace.
Amen.
A God whose workmanship was so, you know, each one of us is his workmanship.
Yes.
Each one of us is loved and nurtured, and that, you know, someone's puppy passed away or whatever, that was as probably as about as angry as our God got, because, well, God took my puppy. Well, you have to explain to them that, you know, God has a purpose for each of us.
Right.
There's a reason that, you know, that particular puppy, or even a grandma or someone who has passed, that God needed an angel. He
right.
needed that special angel to watch over us. And so we never got the angry God until we actually, some of our ministries got back into the Old Testament, where, you know, there was anger here and there was anger there. But we never, ever, I never heard of the angry God until many, many, many years later, which scared me.
Right, it does scare people. My gosh, yes,
it is scary, and I have learned over time as I became more into the Word, studied and prayed, that I realized that my God is gentle.
Yes,
my God is loving.
Yes,
and my God saves, and it's work.
Right,
we have to work at it, Pastor, and. It can be tough. The world can be pretty tough on us, but we have that thing of, you know, we are saved by grace.
Amen. Amen. Talk to us, Nan, about this.
Well, yeah, I was saying I've done some children's church work, but when my husband and I, we were the youth leaders at our church, and if we'd have come off to talking to them about how giving the impression that God was an angry God, they just wouldn't bother coming back.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people are. I mean, you know, I'm doing fine. My life is going pretty good. And why would I want to go to church and hear about an angry God?
Exactly.
You know? And I know that with them, I mean, they were like, a lot of them were almost like street kids and gang, you know, semi-gang stuff. And a crime occurred at a place, and it was some kids from our youth group. I mean, we're talking about some pretty rough little kids that we dealt with, teenagers that we dealt with. And for many of them, they had absentee parents.
Right.
And actually, my husband and I almost came surrogate parents for many of them.
Sure.
Because of our age over them. And we just showed them love.
Right.
You know, we just loved them where they were. And that's what God does with us. He loves us where we are.
Yes.
You know, and on a daily basis, you know, we were getting back to that on my daily basis. You know, he loves me today. He's going to love me tomorrow, and I might mess up this tonight, and I just ask him, please forgive me. He still loves me.
Absolutely.
I'm still going to wake up, and he's going to be loving me when I wake up in the morning.
Well, it says right here that he has all the time in the world to shower us with grace and kindness. He's not showering us with his meanness, because he doesn't have any meanness. God is love, 1 John 4:8. That's his whole essence. That's everything that he is. Mm-hmm. We quote the verse all the time on this show, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, that's John 3:16, shall not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse, we don't quote a lot, John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so the message of the gospel is one of good news. It's one of salvation. It's one of joy. It's one of, wow, we serve a risen Lord that loves us, that is full of grace and full of kindness. And we've got to change our mindset on this, Betty. I believe there's too many people running around that don't approach the throne of grace because they think it's a throne of judgment. They think they're going to get beat up for the past or what they currently are doing. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely. And I've seen so many people walk away from the Lord because the situations or the circumstances that they were in, they just couldn't handle it on their own.
Right.
And instead of, I can even say from my own situation here in the last few weeks, that it's tough. And, but you know what? God's going to get the glory. There is going to come some point in this time. It may not be in the next day, it may not be in the next week, it may not be in the next year, that I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I have to depend and rely that God is going to see me through.
And that he loves you enough that he's going to be good to you, that he's going to be kind to you.
You know, I see it, you know, I woke up today, I was thankful that I woke up.
There you go.
I was thankful that God had given me, my heart was still beating.
Right.
I was able to take a breath.
Right.
And I was able to turn my music on and be able to praise him and thank him for another day.
Amen.
Because we don't know. We don't know when we take that next step what's going to happen. And we have to be, it's almost like being, we'll be Girl Scouts. We have to be prepared.
All right, Girl
Scouts. To be prepared,
right.
We have to trust and believe and know that when he showers us, he is going to shower us abundantly. And it's sometimes it can be mind-boggling because you say, well, how the Lord showers you? Sit down and let me tell you the
right.
blessings that I've received, you know, in the, over the many, 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 many years that I've known the Lord.
Absolutely. And we've got to get to that. And by the way, your sound now is fine. I don't know what was going on earlier, but now we're in a good place with your sound
okay.
coming from
All
Indiana.
Good.
But we've got to get to a place, Betty and Nan, where we are expecting God's kindness and his grace. That we're not expecting the bad junk, that we're not expecting punishment, that we're not expecting the angry God syndrome that we talked about earlier, Nan, that we're not expecting bad things. We are expecting to be blessed. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm reminded of a personal situation I'm facing at this particular moment, and it has to do with the situation that happened at work. And it was like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go back in. I know how I'm handling situations, sending out an email, you know, handling it very professionally and appropriately.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, man, I mean, it's been weighing. I mean, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, it weighing on me, just weighing on me. And
because you're conscientious and you don't want to ever
right.
make a misstep there at work.
Exactly. Don't want to ever
right.
do that. And because for one, number one thing, I represent Christ there.
Right.
All those people know I'm a Christian.
Right.
You know, and I want them to see, well, I know we can't be perfect, but I strive for perfection anyway in
right.
in my job. But, you know, it was like after I got prayed for this morning, okay, I'm just expecting blessings tomorrow.
Amen.
You know, and it hasn't bothered
Woo!
Me anymore since I got prayed for
Amen.
This morning. It's like that was it. That's what I needed, that prayer.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was trusting God and believing God, but I just, that prayer. I
right.
needed that prayer.
Absolutely.
Speaking of prayer, no.
Speaking of prayer, wow, what a day we've had already
we've had
today.
A good day.
So we've got to do this song. And Betty, it's one of my favorites and yours when you were down here visiting and you and Megan staying with me a few months back. We played this in the car a lot. The Healing Has Begun by Matthew West. And we are declaring right now for our radio
yeah.
audience that the healing has begun, and it begins with a mindset that says, I will no longer be worried and walk in fear of an angry God, but my healing begins by me acknowledging that I serve a God of grace and kindness and goodness, and I expect the healing to happen. Listen to this song.
Carry the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. The healing has begun. Whoa, the healing has begun. How long has it been since you felt anything but shame? Child, lift up your eyes, 'cause mercy remembers your name. Tears you've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today is the day. Yeah, today is the day. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
holding on to their guilt, thinking they fell too far. So don't be afraid to show them your beautiful scars, 'cause they're the proof. Yeah, you're the proof. Oh, the healing has begun.
God, lift up your eyes. Mercy remembers your name. Mercy remembers your name. The healing has begun. Dear ones out there, God wants to heal your emotional scars. He wants to take away the pain of the past. He wants to do a fresh new work in us. And Betty, so often I think we carry around all that old stuff from the past and just thinking that maybe eventually we'll forget it, or maybe it won't sting so much. But the truth is, until we allow God to begin the healing in us, it continues to sting and hurt. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
A personal testimony of our beautiful scars is a testimony that, yes, it hurts, and sometimes it hurts to bear it, but you know what? It's just like with a wound, that if you keep covering it up and you keep ignoring it, you know what? It never goes away. It right. just keeps getting worse and worse, and the situation can become to the point where it becomes decayed, and
right.
it can cause you to lose vital tissue and a limb, possibly.
Right, right.
But once you take that effort to go to the great physician and take those, take all of the junk away from it, clean it up,
right.
get rid of it, then that's when the healing begins.
Amen.
And it happened with a personal, you know, maybe if one of our listeners out there is dealing with some emotional issues where their heart has been broken, where they've been hurt, that it helps to maybe write things down, to start a journal.
Right.
Start the healing, maybe by, you know, they typing it out on a computer.
Right.
Is where I started. And then a friend of mine had given me a journal to start writing things down. And I began to look back over that time where I'd started writing back in October, and how much greater and how much more blessed. And I think I was back there then. That's exactly what
wow.
I was thinking. And how, you know, it just seemed like that ink could just disappear because it wasn't there anymore. That hurt wasn't there.
Praise
those
God.
Those walls weren't there anymore. And that's grace. That is the mercy
yes, yes.
that he gives us and extends to us, that we have to let go.
We got to let go.
Yeah.
And we got to allow the healer to do the healing. I love that song we just played. It's one of my favorites now. The healing has begun. And I quoted it a minute ago, but I love that line. Lift up your eyes. Mercy remembers your name. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. We don't get the punishment that we deserve. We don't get the consequences of sin. That's mercy. When we don't get what we deserve. Grace is when we do get what we don't deserve. I mean, blessing after blessing after blessing, we get grace. We find mercy and help for our needs, but we get grace. As that song was playing, Nan, our resident poet, she's a poet and does know it, but mm-hmm. she calls them poems.
Mm-hmm.
She was sitting here writing another poem.
When she's at McDonald's, they're McPoems.
Oh, they're Mick poems, yes.
Mick poems, yes. Betty named them for me.
Mick poems. Well, would you like to read your Mick poem, or, yes?
Betty, what is it called when we're in the radio studio?
Yeah, what are those poems called here? She'll come up with something.
She'll come up with something.
Hey, let me pray about that.
Okay, pray about that and get
back
to me.
Doesn't have anything to do with equine, feline, or canine, right?
Okay. No, but I could possibly... fix something in there.
I'm sure you could. Listen to the poem that God just gave me.
God forgives you this minute, the minute that you ask him to. Mm-hmm. Move forward in victory. That is the way it can be for you. God's grace is here for you. Turn to him. You'll see. Grace will cover what's been done. From it, you will be free. Your healing has begun. Walk on. You will feel it. Don't accept condemnation from Satan. You don't have to receive it a bit.
Woo!
That's
good stuff.
And God's good.
That was a great McPoem.
A McPoem.
Right, it was. That really was. And you don't have to receive the condemnation.
No.
Nan's got internet right up in front of us. If you would like to write a question, comment, or anything while we are on the show today, it's pastor@bohmglobal.com. That's our new email address, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Betty, you hit it right there, and Nan, you did in the poem. When we reach out and say, Lord, forgive me, or Lord, heal me from this pain of the past. I mean, the song says the healing has begun, but it's begun when we acknowledge that God can heal us. We reach out and we say, I need you to touch me, Lord. I don't want to go on like this, feeling the same old pain and bitterness and strife and resentment and unforgiveness that I've always felt. Do you have a comment on that, Nan, before we go back to Betty?
No, I was just thinking, you know, those are such weights.
Yes.
They just weight you down, you know?
I mean,
it can almost be paralyzing. I mean, I just feel that there's people listening to us today who are almost just paralyzed by that condemnation stuff that's going on. And,
absolutely.
And God wants to free them.
Amen.
He wants to free them, begin the healing now.
Exactly. Condemnation is paralyzing.
It is very
when you're
paralyzing.
Walking around and you're being beat up in your head all the time. Betty, let's talk to you.
See, I just had a vision. Is there's someone out there today that needs to fill a dumpster with some things that they've carried around for years.
Whoa.
And by doing this, the person that it frees is them.
Right.
And it doesn't take major surgery to remove the things that are causing us to feel and fall under that condemnation category.
Right.
And that they have to learn that Satan is doing everything in his power to condemn,
right,
kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen. Yes, he is.
And they have to come to that realization. It's like, oh, he doesn't exist. Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And if you want testimony on what he's done in my life or has tried to, that's the key, tried, that, you know, there's been sickness, there's been other things in my life that I could have let it get me down, and in the last few weeks, I could have rolled up into a ball, crawled up into a bush, and just laid there and let him kick me around, let him spit on me. But
right,
you know what? I had the confidence and the grace that he gives me to get up, stand up, and say, I'm not going to stand for this anymore.
Exactly.
Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand in confidence, because I'm going to stand on the word of God.
Amen.
That no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yes.
That I am a child of God, and I do not have to accept this.
Amen. Remember the story of the lady that was bent over? Doubled, and she had been that way, it said, for years and years. And she came to Jesus. You both remember that story? And she's mm-hmm. bent over. She can't even look up and see. You know, she's just, she's bent over. It says that, you know, she, and Jesus said, and of course it was on the Sabbath, because that's the way it always was. And Jesus was always getting into trouble for healing people on the mm-hmm. religious day.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus makes the argument with the religious leaders, why shouldn't she be healed? This person who has been bound by Satan all these 18 years, Jesus himself says she was bound by Satan. And yet the devil has convinced so many people, I mean, Betty, you're right on this, convinced so many people that the bondage that they're under from the past, the unforgiveness, the resentment, all of that junk, that it doesn't have anything to do with Satan. That it's just things that have happened to them. And they don't realize that the devil uses those things to heap condemnation on us. And how can we take territory against the enemy? How can we get rid of that junk in our lives if we don't realize that the devil's working overtime? Nan, talk to me about this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it abundantly.
Well, I was thinking to do a parallel on a situation here. I was thinking about how God, you know, sometimes we think maybe we should come to God with something and then we don't. And so then things get build up and they get a little worse. And well, now I should have gone to him earlier, but I didn't go to him early. Now it's worse. He can still fix whatever's wrong regardless. What made me think about that is I have a tooth. I have several teeth, but one of the teeth in particular.
Nan has one tooth.
I have one tooth.
That's what it's really good that we don't have. This is a new HD camera in here in the studio today. We're glad it's not tuned in here on Nan's one tooth. But anyway.
Okay. there is a spiritual relation here, Betty.
What was that? What was it?
Okay. I went to dentist, had a little problem, and went to the dentist.
With your one tooth?
Listen to Betty. We got to get her stopped. Betty, stop. No, went to the dentist.
Nan's got a beautiful mouth of gums. No, go ahead.
I'll say gums.
Just gums. And one tooth. But go ahead, Nan.
Okay, let's see if we do this. Praise God, we can do this.
We can do this.
I went to the dentist with... Actually, a crown came off. It was a good thing it did. We discovered a big cavity. And that's
under
great.
Under the one good tooth.
On my one good tooth, I got a cavity. Well, so, okay, here's the deal. So what happened was, I have a dental appointment tomorrow to get it filled. But what happened when I was eating at my family's house the other night, all of a sudden, part of the tooth has actually come off. And
half tooth person.
So how that relates spiritually, guys?
Well, this is going to be a long stretch, I'm sure.
No. I let something go.
Oh.
And it got worse. But we can correlate.
Ding. You get it.
We can correlate the doctor to God that, okay, it's worse than what it was when I was in his chair last week or two weeks ago, whenever it was. But he's still going to be able to fix it. And when it's fixed, it's going to look just as nice. My one tooth. I'm being serious here, Pastor. It's going to look just as
She's a one tooth wonder, audience. She really is. That one tooth is going to look great here soon.
But I've never had this happen on this show.
Well, it's Betty. It's all Betty.
Betty, it's your fault. But I mean, but no, that's the way it is with God. It doesn't, regardless of how bad things appear, He can still fix them and make it and make us brand new and fix
Absolutely.
It for us.
All right. Wow. So I think it's time for station ID. Whoa, there was a hiccup. Crazy around here. Cedric, let's do station ID. We got to get a break.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Oh. Now I have the hiccups. Welcome back to Living the Good Life at Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we've been a little silly here, but we are making some good points, and we'll get back to them in just a moment. And we're so glad you've joined us every Sunday live on this radio station. We're starting our seventh year today, Nan.
That's exciting to be on the beginning of the seventh year. You know, and it's really just wonderful to know there's many, literally hundreds of people who have been ministered to.
Amen.
As a result of this radio show going the 6 years already that it's gone. And from its inception at the very beginning and the first time you guys had it recorded, and after that you decided that wasn't the best way to do it. You decided to, let's do it live. And you know,
only
Holy Spirit
one
can
recorded
really,
show ever, and that was the first one. Yeah.
Okay. You do hear something?
Yeah, I'm better.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I was taking it for that.
been sitting here hiccuping. We've been laughing. But you know what? This is a great topic that we're on today, and we're glad you've joined us. If you're just now joining us, stay with us for the next hour. You know, if you have a prayer concern, a prayer need, we welcome you to use our prayer line. Nan, tell them about that and how easy it is to use it. I mean, it really is. It's all online.
It's just online. Just get online and email to www.prayers at...
You don't, no WWs for this. Just prayers at...
Oh, I'm sorry.
BOHM Global.
Yes, you're right. Good.
Prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just simply, you have a prayer request, send the prayer in. Is picked up by one of two people, Carol or Pastor Jim, mm-hmm. and they send it back out on an email to everyone who's on the prayer team.
Right.
And the prayer team can consist of does consist of people who are not necessarily at Beacon, but they just want to be part of the prayer team. So if people, and then what happens, the email they get is like the request, and then actually either a Carol or Pastor Jim will write a prayer to go along with it.
Amen.
And that's a prayer that you can just pray, pray that prayer if that's what you want to pray.
Right.
Pray other ways as you feel led to pray. And if there's anyone interested in being on the prayer team, just simply send in an email to that same website address and email address, and they'll be added to that prayer.
Absolutely.
Team.
We welcome people to join the team, the prayer team. It's amazing what God gets done. Betty, don't you see that in your own life, what God has done through the prayer ministry at Beacon?
Oh, my goodness. I think last week there probably were 10 or 15 requests. I mean, within just a matter of a few minutes.
Right.
And God was right. I mean, he was right there. And the prayers that went up just last week were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's such a blessing to be able to pray for people that I don't know these people. You know what? God does.
God does.
He knows the situation. And we were, when we were doing just a few seconds ago, that just a prime example of how God can turn sadness into gladness.
Right.
And it may be people who have been oppressed and under condemnation that God can give you back the laughter and the joy
exactly.
that you had
right.
before.
Absolutely. Amen. And if you're experiencing emotional issues, you're experiencing physical problems, financial problems, marriage problems, kid problems, grandkid problems, whatever it is, write us a prayer request, prayers at BOHM Global, and we will take that prayer request to God. And it will be prayed for. It really will. Prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. We're talking about a God healing us and God being full of rich mercy and grace. And John 1:14 says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And we're going to talk more about that in this hour. We're glad you've joined us. We're going to start this hour with a Casting Crowns song that I love entitled Mercy.
My strength, the lifter of my head.
What a great song, all about God's mercy. Go with us to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to see an example of that mercy. Jesus, and about verse 35 of Luke 18, Jesus was on the outskirts of Jericho, and a blind man was sitting beside the road asking for handouts. When he heard the rustle of the crowd, he asked what was going on. See, he couldn't see it. He was blind. So he asked some people around, what's going on? What's all this crowd around? And they told him, Jesus the Nazarene is going by. And this was obviously a popular person at that point in time. People knew about him. It was not like the blind man said, what do you mean, Jesus, who? Who's that? I don't know anything about him. No, the blind man says immediately in Luke 18, verse 38, here's what the blind man says. He yelled, it says in the Message Bible, he yelled. He didn't just take this calmly. Oh, Jesus, oh, okay. Oh, him, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. No, Luke 18, 38 makes it very clear that the blind man yells, Jesus, Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me. Have mercy. This is what the blind man yelled. Those ahead of Jesus told the man to shut up, but he only yelled all the louder. I love that. Everybody around Jesus was saying, hey, tell that guy to be quiet. You know, tell that man to be quiet. And instead, what does this man do? He knows he's in contact, man, with the living God right there, the Messiah walking right there beside him, and he's going to take advantage of that situation. How cool is that? And he yells even louder. When they tell him to shut up, he yells louder. Mercy, mercy, have mercy on me. So he yells louder, Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me. I love this, Betty. The blind man doesn't just give in to what everybody's saying. Oh, be quiet, you be quiet. Instead, this blind man knew he needed a miracle, and he yells all the louder. And with us, a lot of times, Betty, I think that we are way too quiet when it comes to trying to get God's attention. We need to cry out for mercy. Talk to me about that.
Boldly. I mean, that's the key.
Boldly.
This man had, he didn't care what anybody else thought. He wasn't listening to what everybody was telling him.
Right.
He knew in his heart that was the master. He was
Woo!
The Son of David. He was not going to stop because he knew who he was. He knew what he could do, and he wasn't going to stop until he got the Lord's attention. And I bet you if you read on, he got the Lord's attention. Didn't he command him?
Well,
to bring him to him?
Well, absolutely. And so they brought him over. Jesus ordered him in verse 40. Jesus stopped and ordered him to be brought over. And when he had come near, Jesus asked, and I love this question. I mean, we know that Jesus knew that the man was blind. He knew what he needed, but so often Jesus asks us specifically, what do you need? And Jesus said this to him, what do you want from me? I love that. This is a real key concept here in these few verses. When Jesus knows our need already, a lot of people don't pray because they go, oh, well, Jesus knows what I need. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, all through his interaction with people when he walked this earth, he wanted people to state what they needed. He did not want to just assume that the blind man needed to see again. He wanted the people to get involved with their healing. Mm-hmm. Betty, this is critical to me. I've seen this for so many years pastoring. That people will sometimes, they may be torn up with all kinds of emotional garbage on the inside. And they come up for prayer and I say, what do you need from God? I do this a lot. And they may just do something, they say something totally off the wall that I'm thinking, wow, they need this. And yet they don't even realize they need it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think that, and I've watched you, the Lord ministers through you,
that you do not have a spirit of timidity. But the people that walk, the people
really?
That run for prayer are the ones that are thinking just like this man. It's like, hey,
right.
pray for me. Pray for me. And that's where we have to get past that timid, oh, I don't know if I can do this or not.
I don't want anybody to look at me when I go up for prayer.
No, I don't know. I just sit here. I'll let Nan go up for prayer, and I'll just sit here. You know what? When I was down in Tampa, and he didn't look at me, he just said, there's someone out there that needs prayer. And it was regarding a personal issue. I ran to the blue line.
Right.
I didn't hesitate. I did not let Satan tell me, don't go up there for prayer. Those people don't know you. You know, and it's like, sorry, I am going, and I pushed through. I had to be a personal, I'm a linebacker when it comes to wanting to go boldly before the throne.
Right.
There is nothing that can stop me. I am going. I am taking out the first line of defense. I've got my armor on. I've got my helmet on. I've got my sword of the spirit. I've got my shield of faith. And I go. And I mean, when I say go, and that's what makes some people think that we're radical.
Well, Betty, you are. I'm not, but
I am.
Are.
You know what? And I am so. I have so much confidence.
There
in
you
that
go,
area pastor.
I know you
that
do. I know you do.
I will run to the blue line.
Right.
I will run to Jesus. I mean, if he was standing here before me, of course, I'd fall on my face and worship him. But I would run to him and say, praise God for what you have done for me. And that's the way that we have to.
That's the way we have to.
Even in our own lives, in our prayer, we've got to get this down in the churches. We've got to start. We've got to start believing, proclaiming, and putting that stake down and saying, this is the way it's going to be.
We got to want to be healed. This blind man, Betty, when Jesus said, what do you want from me? He said, Master, I don't know. I just came up in the crowd and wanted to get to know you. How are you? Is that what he said?
No. He said, he knew he wanted that poor man took everything he had to just shout. I mean, I believe this in my heart.
Yeah.
He took everything he had because he knew he could be stoned. Someone could take him out and do things to him that would end his life.
Right.
But he knew in his heart.
Well, he said, Master.
If Jesus could just hear him, if he could just look at him, that I know I'm going to be healed. I mean, that's how much faith that man had, and that's what it took.
And he says, Master, I want to see again. He was specific. We talked about this today at Beacon of Hope in our service about being specific. You got to need, let's say, God, I need that thing in my past healed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to always walk around with the pain of that rape or that incest or whatever the case might be in somebody's past. I don't want to always walk around knowing that happened to me. I want the pain. I want the sting to go away, or whatever the situation in your life it is that is bothering you. In this case, the man was actually physically blind, and he said, Master, I want to see again. And I love the Message Bible there in verse 42 of Luke 18, because Jesus says, go ahead, see again. I mean, he did not do anything fancy. He just said, okay, go ahead, see again. That's what you want? Go ahead. He gives us permission to receive our miracle. Now, that's a big three dinger right there. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum.
He gives us permission, Nan, to receive our miracle. And he says, go ahead, see again. Go ahead. Matter of fact, go ahead. Go ahead. Take your miracle. Get rid of the pain of that thing from your past. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let it go. Let it go.
Okay. And it's not so easy to say, okay. Because some people, Satan will still try to be there.
But he gives us permission to be healed. He gives us permission to be healed. That's the point. And so Jesus says, go ahead and be healed. See again, your faith has saved and healed you. And it says the healing was instant. He looked up, seen, and then followed Jesus, glorifying God. Everyone in the street joined in, shouting praise to God. when there are miracles, miracles truly bring glory to God. And everybody jumped on board and were shouting and believing God. Betty, this is the kind of thing we need to see in our churches and in our daily lives. We had amazing service today, and people, things were going on up front after the word. People were, somebody told me afterwards that they had hardly been able to breathe at all, very shallow breathing. After they were prayed for today, they were able to take a deep breath, and peace came in. And all of the anguish that they had felt all for weeks just slipped away. It was gone. It was gone. That's a miracle.
Yeah, and I believe that in the next few weeks and months that we're going to see more of that.
Oh, I agree.
That a lot of people, Pastor, that they have to see it to believe it. I mean, they actually have to visually see it. They can't take it by faith. People have to actually see it. And I think that, like I said, in the next few weeks, months, maybe years, whenever the Lord, you know, comes back or whatever, that we're going to see miracle signs and wonders, and people better be ready. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. It's a miracle when a miracle happens, and I've had one in my life, and it still gives me goosebumps to even think about what happened during that time. And I actually had a change of heart, and my mindset changed first, and then I had a change of heart, and bam, and it's just like that blind man who was immediately healed. And when it comes in that quickly, it's you're out. I mean, you are physically, you're out of it. You're just totally out of it, because you can't stand in the glory of God when this happens, because it's overwhelming to someone of my caliber. It's just overwhelming. And then to see someone else healed, it's like, oh my Lord, it's just the glory of God is there, people.
It is.
Open your eyes.
It is. And we have got to quit being afraid of the future. And we get so complacent and so comfortable with the pain of the past that it's hard for us to reach out for a miracle and begin to see. Nan wants to say something. Begin to see things different. No, you don't. She does not want to see a thing. Say a thing. Listen to this Matthew West song, because it is amazing. Hello, my name is.
My name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Child.
hello, my name is the child of the one true king. In that song, which I've never heard until right now, Connie put on the show, Matthew West's song. And the name of that song is Hello, My Name Is, if some of you want to try to find that again. 1 John chapter 3 is quoted in that song, and here's what it says. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. 1 John 3, 1. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. Praise God. This is the book of 1 John, guys. On back, very back, near Revelation. 1 John 3, 1. What marvelous love the Father has. That is amazing song, Betty. Did you just love that or what?
Yeah, in fact, we have that on our iPads or, you know, through our musical devices. And the cool thing about that is that we are all child of the one true King.
Right.
And I'm sure that at some time we have been all under defeat. We've
right.
all been under condemnation. But it's amazing what God's love and his grace can do when we say, Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
And it's almost like balloons and fireworks going off to some people is that they've given all of their past, their iniquities to him.
Yes.
And they leave it there.
Right.
But sometimes we sometimes take it back, and we don't have to do that. We can just, you know, if you struggle with something like some of us do, just keep going back, leave it there, and don't pick it back up.
And a lot of times we beat ourselves up. You know, we really do. Self-criticism. Back in 1 John, where I went a minute ago, I'm just going to stay there a minute, in chapter 3, verse 18, John says this, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And when we practice real love, God's love for us, his grace and his mercy to us, we've got to quit criticizing ourselves. It says right here, Nan, debilitating self-criticism. And I think that's that condemnation where we're beat down by the past. We've got to do something to get over that. We got to resist that in Jesus' name.
Well, I was saying, you know, we beat down ourselves, and there's those of us who also have had people beat us down.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, and I hadn't really thought of it till just a while ago, but, you know, my husband, after he was not trying to walk with the Lord and we had quit our leadership in the church, said a lot of really nasty things to me and told me what I was and told me what I wasn't. And, you know, I would kind of struggle with that, fight with that, and then buy into that.
Right.
You know, buy into that. And that was, in my mind at the time, helping to define who I was.
Right.
And that's the way our self-condemnation can be. We,
exactly.
We define who we are, but that's not really who we are.
No.
That's not who we are at all.
That's what that song says.
Right.
Yeah, it starts out,
that.
Hello, my name is Regret, you know,
right.
and all those things. And yet, my real name is Child of the One True
yes,
King.
Yes, amen.
Betty, talk to us about this, because this is life-changing when we get it down on the inside of us and change how we see ourselves.
It's amazing what, once we let go of what God can do, and I can relate to what Nan said about how Satan uses people.
Yes, he does.
Whether they're Christians, whether they're believers of Christ, is that I had a Christian sister tell me that I worship Satan.
Wow.
And do you know what that did to me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was totally devastating.
Right.
And I won't go into detail, but you want to talk about, you know, defeat.
Right, beat you up.
Condemnation. And, you know, I had to go back and look at myself. It's like, where did I go wrong? And but I let that one statement rule me for many, many, many months.
And that's just,
and it
wow.
It caused me to literally put myself in chains and shackles because I let one person's comment rule my life.
Wow.
But when I got into the Word and it told me that He loved me, that God, my Father, God, loved me enough that He sent His Son Jesus to die for me.
Yes.
That would, that change, it totally just, it took me many, 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 many months to forget that one statement of what that can do to one person.
Right.
But then when I overcame it, it's like, it's just like, you know, it's been very, very dark here and gray and rainy. But you know what? When I made that commitment to let that statement go and bury it,
right,
take off those chains and those shackles, it's like the sun shined for the first time because the sun, the S-O-N, became so apparent to me that He loved me, His mercy and grace endures, not just one day, but forever.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, but you had to have a mindset change, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. And it took me, but it took something that you told me many, many, a few years ago, that my God is greater than anything that anybody can do or say.
Amen.
To me, that His love
yes.
overshadows what
yes.
anyone can say or do, that my sins are forgiven.
Amen.
My sins are washed away. Everything, I mean everything, from one transgression to the next, they're gone.
They're
forgotten. Our past can be let go, but we have to have that mindset change.
We do. We have to say, God, okay, I choose to look at my past as mistakes, whatever, but they're under the blood of Jesus. Psalm 103 says, He has not dealt with us. This is verse 10. According to our iniquities, nor rewarded us according to those things that we've done. Instead, He has forgiven us. And when He forgives us, He separates it. He doesn't remember it. It's as far as the east is from the west. Wow, hard to even imagine. So read that, Nan, starting with verse 10 of Psalm 103.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
Wow. They're gone. Wow. We're the ones, and with the help of the devil, that keeps them stirred up and back in the front of our mind when God wants us to let them go. Psalm 107, oh, thank God, He's so good. I love this. The psalmist just pegs God entirely correctly here. Oh, thank God, He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Betty, we got to tell the world. That's what we're doing right now with this show. God, You are so good. You do heal the pain of our past. We have to realize this. Tell how He freed you from oppression. When you carry around the pain of the past and you're beating yourself up and allowing the devil to beat you up for things that have happened, that maybe you've asked God to forgive you, but you're just not sure if God really did. We have got to realize that God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace, Nan. He does forgive us. And He has not dealt with us. We just read it. Psalm 103. According to our sins, because it's all about mercy and love. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad that he doesn't do that. That'd be in a world, you know.
We all would.
A mess, you know.
We just came through resurrection time. That's what Jesus did on the cross, forgave all our sins.
Yes. Yes, He did. He took a lot on Him.
He took it all on Him so that we would not have to bear it. Betty, talk to us about this.
Well, one of the things that I was looking at is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just
yes.
to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from, capital A-L-L, all unrighteousness.
And that is 1 John 1:9, and we all need to get that verse down on the inside of us. Say it again, Betty. 1 John 1:9. That is a tool. That is a weapon that needs to be in your arsenal. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, go ahead.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And the problem is that a lot of people know they were guilty of whatever. And so they continue to try to pay a price for that when Jesus already paid the price for that action. All we do is confess, oh, I should never have done that. Lord, forgive me. I am sorry. And that's the end of it. It's gone.
There are sometimes, depending on the situation, sometimes we also need to ask someone's forgiveness.
Oh, absolutely.
I was reminded.
Make amends.
My son was raised in a split home beginning at the age of 3.
Right.
And my ex-husband was not a real nice guy. And there was a lot of issues with the visitation back and forth.
Right.
And he did a lot of bad things. But, you know, I wasn't exactly perfect in the situation either.
That's hard to believe.
I know that's hard to believe. Kind of bust your bubble there. And she's going to start laughing again. There we're going to go. I love you, Betty.
Did you have all your teeth in?
I had all my teeth.
That's good.
And I had all my teeth in. But you know something that my son is now 22. Probably about a year or so ago, I spoke to my adult son and I said, you know, and I said, so situations that have happened in your childhood, you know, here's the circumstances surrounding it. Please forgive me. I'm really sorry. And he was like, well, that's okay, Mom. Don't worry about it. You know, but it was something I had to do for myself.
Praise God.
And so I asked his forgiveness and then I asked God's forgiveness.
Wow.
You know,
praise God. Amen. Amen. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, it's funny, the correlation because that I have with Nan today in the radio about teeth and asking my father and mother to forgive me before I got married, that, you know, if I had done anything that was unpleasant to them or I had said or done anything that was not pleasing to them, to please forgive me. And they both cried. And they said, why would you do that? And I said, because I needed to. Because I was a pretty good kid growing up, but I still, you know, I was a teenager. I still did some teenage things that may have hurt my mom and dad.
Okay.
But when I asked my father, my blood father, to forgive me, he forgave me. So if I ask my Heavenly Father to do that, he is more readily to forgive me than my own blood father.
Right. Exactly.
Because we were asked several weeks ago, if you had one child, one son, would you be able to put him on a cross and let him die for people's sins?
Wow.
And the congregation said no.
Right.
They couldn't do it. So our Heavenly Father sent Jesus, his only son,
right,
to die so that we could live and be free of sin, so that there would not have to be any more sacrifices like there were in the Old Testament.
Amen.
So it's so wonderful to be able to, and so cleansing and so freeing, to ask for forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, that it's almost like you can feel him pick you up. His Holy Spirit picks you up, hugs you, and says, it's okay. I forgive you.
Amen.
It's awesome. It's just so awesome and so freeing. And if you have that past that you want to be free of, ask the Heavenly Father, and all you have to do is forgive me.
Yes. He does it.
It's that easy. He does.
Oh, I know. Asking people to forgive us, and I mean, that's one of the basic parts of the AA program, you know, that we make amends, that we we look at those issues in our lives, our shortcomings and our failures, and we ask God and in some cases others to forgive us. And then the freedom that that brings. Nan, you have a comment.
Well, I wanted to say, in thinking about my son, and then, of course, later, of course, because I'm feeling all guilty, I go to him, and I say, you know, Bradley, I'm so, and he's like, Mom, it's okay. It's okay. You know, and then that's kind of the way it
you
is.
Didn't
like,
wanna, you didn't want to believe that he
really
forgave you.
Well, I just was feeling
you.
Guilty.
Okay.
You know, and I, that's kind of
where
the way
does guilt come from? Guilt does not come from
guilt
God.
Guilt does not come from God.
Conviction.
Conviction comes from God, but not guilt.
Not guilt.
But I mean, but I thought of that, that's the way it is with God. So he forgives you, and then you go back to him. But God, what about, you know, it's like, wait a minute, I forgave you. That's, you
he
know.
He says, I don't even remember what you're
anymore,
talking about.
You know, and so that's kind of reminding me of my son just acting like, whatever,
like,
you know,
Mom, leave it alone.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, it's okay.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Talk to us, Betty.
You know, it's amazing just listening to Nan that it's so easy, so uncomplicated, so freeing, and so debilitating at the same time that we kind of do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
That some people, it's like with me, I don't like living in misery. I don't
really?
Like living in oppression.
Right.
It is,
yeah.
It's not good.
No.
It can affect you spiritually, mentally, physically.
Right.
And when it starts affecting you physically, it's like, hey, you know, open your eyes, people. We have got to come, we've all got to come to the realization that, you know, the Lord is here. He wants to forgive you. But you know what? He is such a gentleman, and he is so sweet that he's not going to kick you. He's not going to punch you into the end zone. He wants you to have a mindset change and say, hey, I am your Heavenly Father. I will listen to you.
Right.
Come and sit on my lap. Let's talk.
Right. And we've got to get, go ahead.
And he will listen.
Yes, he does.
I guess I can't be any more explicit of seeing my Heavenly Father hold my daughter, and he's got his hands on her. I mean, I can actually see this happening in our car. This was years ago after we had left one of the church services at Cornerstone in Newcastle. And it's that kind of thing that we're going to see in the next few weeks and months to come, is that if you don't believe in miracles, you're going to start seeing them. Don't be scared. Don't run away from them, because it's just something that the Lord wants to do for you. He wants to heal you. He
Amen.
Wants to set you free. And be open to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit move in your congregations. Don't quench the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If you get into a church that preaches the word, and I recommend Beacon of Hope, because you preach the word of God, and when the word goes forth, then things start to happen.
Amen.
And it's life changing.
Woo! Amen. Listen to this song, and we'll get back to you in a minute, Betty. Forgiven by Sanctus Real.
Knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know.
struggle with my pain, wrestle with my pride. Sometimes I feel alone.
Forgiven. I'm forgiven. We got to realize that is exactly what God says about us. We are forgiven. And there are times that we allow the devil to beat us up. We find in Ephesians 1 and 2 that Paul talks about the fact that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Jesus is right there with us, and all the junk of our past, it's under our feet. It's gone. We, because of our status as a child of the living God, we are seated with him in heavenly places. And it changes us. Betty talked to me about this. It changes us, all of this. The knowledge that we are forgiven, that we don't have to walk around with this load of weary, weary pain from the past on our backs anymore and in our minds.
No, and the Lord doesn't want us to be pack mules.
There you go. Right.
And if you've ever seen a pack mule, they are burdened down.
Right, exactly.
They can hardly put one hoof. But with humans, it's one step, you know, and one foot in front of the other.
Right, that's right.
And that once you take that burden off, that animal becomes, and the humans can also do this. It becomes free.
Right.
They're able to take off the harness. They're able to take off a bridle, and it strips it. You just strip it away, and this animal is allowed to run back out into the pasture,
right,
and be free. He's able to breathe. He's able to eat without condemnation. There's no one standing over him with a whip saying, "You're going to do this. You're going to do that."
Right.
That he's free. He's truly, indeed, set free.
We've got to get to that point, that the past is not binding us up anymore.
No.
And not pulling us down and defeating us. I mean, and this is what happens to so many people. They're just so beat up. Nan, talk to us.
People are beat up by others as well as themselves.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I know.
Both ways. We've talked about that today.
Right.
Both ways, you know, And the beat-up state really is a bummer place to be.
It really is.
I mean, having lived that, the freedom that comes with God's mercy and God's grace is...
Amen.
I mean, you can't put a price on that. The people wind up having substance abuse problems trying to deal with whatever they're dealing with.
Absolutely, you know, because they're trying to get something to cover the pain.
And
right.
We don't have to do that.
No.
We just...
Not if we appropriate what Jesus
right.
has done on the cross for us and actually walk in it. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, another analogy, it's just like when people are trying to seek help through Alcoholics Anonymous, is that, you know, people stand up and say, you know, my name is Sarah. You know, I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
Well, you know what I can do today? My name is Betty. I'm a Christian, and
right.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven. That's exactly right. And I don't have to live in that pain of the past.
No, and don't let the enemy tell you any different.
Right.
And I think I told you this the last few months, is that the enemy, known as Satan,
right.
the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, is pulling out everything that he can possibly pull out to restrict you, to keep you from being free.
Right.
And you have to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. There comes a point in time when you have to get scripture memorized. Keep it in front of you if you have to, and repeat it time after time after time until he gets the hint that you are not going to be pushed around. You are not going to be blown around like chaff in a field. You're not going to put up with it anymore. You're putting the stake down. You're proclaiming your victory.
Amen.
You're proclaiming that this is your day, that you're going to be free, and you are going to be free indeed, because that's what the devil doesn't want. Is, and that's why he's pulling out everything, is he knows that there's victory. He knows that there's something on the horizon.
Right.
And it's victory, and it's victory in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And you need scripture to combat the attack of the devil. Back to Ephesians 2:4 in the NIV, and it says this: but because of his great love for us, that's God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Well, guys, we got to get this whole concept down on the inside of us. Because of God's great love for us, and God, who is rich in mercy, this is Ephesians 2:4, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, it's by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not from ourselves. This is a gift of God. And not by something that we can do, that we can boast about. This is a gift. It's a free gift. Nan, you saw it. You said you had an aha moment this morning about the fact that you're seated with him above all of those circumstances, right?
Yes, you drew a picture.
Yeah, but I'm not an artist.
You're you did a fine job.
Oh, fine job.
And that picture was like the throne, and was like us sitting on the lap there, and Jesus was there. And but it was just such a visual that, you know what? I don't have to put up with that.
Right.
I mean, I don't have to put up with unbelief or doubt that I would have, or anger that I might get in a situation. I don't need to live like that. I can live above that.
You can live above it.
You know, I mean, I've sat under your teaching almost 3 years now, and that was an aha moment for me.
Praise
God.
Probably
the most intense one I've ever had. It was like this whole great big light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, I don't have to put up with that anymore.
No, you don't.
I don't have to live with that anymore.
Amen.
I can live above that, period.
Amen.
And I mean, it was very, very exciting. It was very, very exciting. I really was excited. I can't wait to tell her afterwards.
Well, you're excited about it right now.
It's exciting to realize, praise God,
we are seated with him in heavenly places.
That. Exactly.
Above all that junk.
Above
we can let go of this. Betty, we're winding down here, but talk to us about this. I mean, Nan had an aha moment in this.
Well, you know, praise God. I am so glad, because I can't, there's other people that I want to succeed, but Nan is one of them that I want to see become so victorious that when Satan sees her coming, he runs in the opposite direction because he sees Nan coming. And, you know, there's something that has helped me a lot in my, just in the last few weeks, that people say, well, I don't have time to read, or I don't have time to pray. There are, because of the media, the social medias and things that are available through our smartphones and so forth, there are apps that you can get on your phone that while you're traveling to work, while you're in the shower, that you can actually have a version of the Bible that will read to you.
Right.
No matter where you are. And that will at least get the word so deep down inside of you.
Amen.
That the enemy he'll leave you alone if you get it down and repeat it back to him, because he construes it and makes it so hard for us to be able to communicate with our Heavenly Father.
Right.
And by doing this and praying and getting the word so down inside of us that he will leave us alone. He's going to keep trying. He's going to find a loophole or a foothold to get in. Don't give it to him. Fight back. Use every form of artillery that you have, which is the Word of God, which
it's
is
the Word
prayer,
of God. Yes,
through the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing what will happen.
Woo! Amen. Nan, do you have a comment on that? Amen, Betty.
Amen, Betty. All right. You know, the joy of being able to walk in victory on a daily basis is where we're headed. And knowing that because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to pay for our past sins or our past mistakes or the things that have been done to us. We don't have to pay for that. It's been paid on the cross. We've got to see that stuff on the cross with Jesus. That's where we got to go. Do you have a final comment on any of that, Betty? Betty, have you noticed that your voice started out really hoarse and yucky? And look where you are now. Stronger
amen.
During this show. Look what happened.
Oh, amen. And one of the there's just a hymn that keeps turning over my head is "The joy of the Lord is my strength."
Yes.
And if you have an opportunity right now, just ask the Lord to come into your heart. Ask Him to help you deal with what you're dealing with. Whether it be the past, whether it be a spousal abuse, whether it be physical or mental, whatever you're dealing with, God has an answer for.
Amen. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you invite Him in. Go to Romans 10, 9 and 10 in your Bible, and it says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And you confess it out of your mouth, and you believe it in your heart. Nan, a final word.
Well, my final word, I wanted to read the definition. I looked up mercy in the dictionary.
Yeah.
A blessing that is an act of divine favor or compassion.
Ooh.
Compassionate treatment of those in distress.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage people that they can live above whatever has been in their past.
Right.
They can live in the heavenly places.
Amen.
This is you taught this morning.
Amen.
Woo! It's been a joy to have both of you on the air today. Betty and Nan, we've enjoyed having you. God bless you both. And dear ones, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us for a service in our Clearwater location. We are currently meeting in a hotel temporarily, trying to find a new place, but we are at 3580 Almerton Road. So go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll find out all about the ministry at Beacon and find out where we're located. Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study, powerful, interactive Bible study. We set up tables. You can bring your dinner and join us 7 o'clock Wednesday night. It's always a joy to share the Word of God with you, and I'm going to get over these hiccups any minute now. I just know I am. God bless you. It's been Nan and Betty and Pastor Marcia sharing the Word of God with you from Beacon of Hope Ministries today. God bless you. Go to our website to hear our old shows. They're all there, beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. See you next week, 3 o'clock, live from Clearwater, Florida.
That far, it's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.